There are numerous things in the $126 million, but I'll give you some examples. To start with, the big item is $75 million in savings due to the change that the federal government is making on how they calculate what we fondly refer to as clawback payments. It's payments that we have to make to the federal government related to the Medicare Part D prescription drug program. That's the biggest number. It's not anything other than technical, but I wanted you to know that's the largest number. Other items that we announced include, for example, eliminating Truman's Day as a state holiday. That one will require a statutory change, and the governor is asking the legislature to pass a statute to eliminate Truman's Day as a state holiday. If they do that, we'll get savings this year. Other things include some savings or some reductions in mental health and health and senior services on their community-based services. Those are services that are provided to people with disabilities and the elderly. We're reducing some of those non-Medicaid services. We're also reducing some contracted services in the Department of Social Services, things like community work supports and some other contracts where they provide services to their clients. We are reducing the interoperability project again. That's about $6 million that we're reducing from that radio project. We're reducing funding for the AAAs, the Area Agencies on Aging, by $1 million. Some of the MU-related programs, which is like telehealth, MoreNet, et cetera, those are all being reduced a little bit through the restriction. We're also announcing that unless MoDOT can come up with an alternative funding source or can reduce the cost, we are going to have to eliminate the second Amtrak train, daily Amtrak train. And then there are a lot of other things as well, Bob.
Yeah, that's fine. Explain to me one thing, how, because he mentioned this in his speech about eliminating three state holidays, I think, ultimately. Now, how does eliminating state holidays save us any money? Because we pay these people not to work those days anyway, so we're just going to make them work. So how do we save?
The people who work in the 24-hour institutions, the prisons and the mental health institutions, do have to work that day, and they get holiday pay. And so the savings is we'll be paying them regular pay rather than holiday pay. Holiday pay is like time and a half or two times, depending on the classification. So they'll get paid just their normal rate of pay rather than holiday pay. That's the direct savings. You also obviously have increased productivity by all of those other state employees who will be working that day rather than having the day off.
Okay. So the main part, though, is we're just not going to be paying holiday pay to people.
Correct.
On those, that one and the other two. Which other two holidays do you know what he's talking about?
The other one is the day after Thanksgiving. And then instead of having two President's Day, we'll have one like everybody else.
Okay. Now, looking at the continued sag in revenues, it's still awfully grim, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Couple of things going on. The first is just our actual revenue collections for January and February. We knew those months were not going to look good, but we're down 12.7% at the end of those 2 months for the year, and that's just quite a bit worse than anybody had anticipated. So there's that information, and then the more we look at kind of the national economic data, the national economists are predicting that it's going to be a while before state revenue begins to pick up. Even as the economy improves, it's going to lag quite a ways behind that before we see a positive impact on our state revenue collections. So it's a combination of the actual collections for January and February and then just that national economic news that they're really viewing this as going to be a longer time period before state revenue collections improve.
Now tell me how you come up with the $500 million more in cuts that are going to have to be made in the next fiscal year's budget beyond what the governor proposed in January.
There are a couple of pieces there. One, we have asked the House and the Senate to work with us to come up with a revised revenue estimate for next year. We believe that we're going to be short at least $200 million when we do that revised revenue collection. The other issue is, since we now know that the state revenue collections are going to lag for quite some time, we want to take the $300 million additional federal revenue and save that for fiscal year 12 rather than spending it in 11.
What's the rationale for doing that?
It is purely that issue. We believe that state revenues are going to lag a lot longer than we originally anticipated. So fiscal year 12 is going to be extremely challenging, and it just makes sense to try to save some funds to help us get through fiscal year 12 as we wait for our revenue collections to rebound.
Is there some thought that we might as well have the pain now as to wait and try to have the pain even worse later?
It really is trying to phase down a lot of things. When you're saving money, take a while to implement, and so the sooner you do them, the better, and the more savings you will get. I think the governor gave a very good example of that today when he talked about needing to make sure our tax credits provide a return on investment and reducing those that don't. The benefit of that will be over time and grows each year. So if we start it now, we'll have a benefit from that in fiscal year 12.
Well, is there anything at all that gives you any optimism as you look at the numbers that we've seen so far this year?
The revenue collection numbers, no. Obviously, if you look at those, there just isn't optimism there. I think the good thing is when you look at the economy as a whole, things are starting to slowly kind of turn around. Unemployment rates, although they're not getting better, they're not getting worse anymore. And there is looking like there are some rays of increased economic activity. So I think from a economic standpoint, there is some ray of sunshine that things are going to turn around. The problem is it just takes so long for that to show up in the form of increased tax revenues for the state.
We're a month away from the income tax deadline. Are you seeing any trends at all? Are people not paying their taxes later than usual this time?
We're actually seeing just about as many returns as we would normally see. So I don't think people are waiting. They're pretty much filing them as they would normally file them. The only news there is that, of course, we're not seeing as much as we had anticipated, and the refund numbers are higher than anticipated. So those things combined really give us a fairly dismal or pessimistic view of what our revenue collections are going to be for the remainder of this fiscal year.
You have spoken of a $700 million decrease in general revenue collections from 2009 to mm-hmm. 2010 as the largest in history.
Yes.
Is that in terms of dollars or percentage?
Both.
Wow. Even worse than the Depression?
Well, we don't really have data from the Depression. The largest in known history as far as what our revenue collections have done. So we go back as far as we can, and during that time period, we cannot find anything. There isn't anything worse than what we're seeing right now.
Well, I suppose for some folks it could be a lot worse. I was looking through some old newspapers not too long ago, and I saw where Governor Caulfield, and this would have been in 29 or 31 probably, mm-hmm. ordered a flat 25% reduction in state government spending.
Yeah.
Just 25% right across the top. We're not talking 5% or 10, 25.
Yeah, and there are so many differences between then and now. I mean, all of the safety net programs that have been implemented. So even though, we might see this negative impact on our state revenues, I think people, obviously, there isn't a way to compare what happened in the Great Depression to what people are feeling now. A lot of people are out of work. There's a lot of pain. Absolutely not a good situation, but it's just one of those things. The people who lived through the Great Depression will remind all of us that those were very different times than what we have right now.
Do you have a feel at all for how the average Missourian will feel all of these reductions in terms of services?
There's a different I think, impacts depending on the individual Missourian. Obviously, some of the reductions we're needing to make in health and senior services and mental health will have a more direct impact on people who receive those services. So individuals who are receiving those benefits will see some reductions there. We did announce that if MoDOT is not able to come up with a reduced cost for Amtrak or some additional funding sources, we will have to possibly close the second train down. Right now there are two daily trains. We reduced GR available for those services, so the second train is going to be dependent upon whether or not MoDOT can come up with a solution. So that would be an impact on people if we had to stop that second train. And then we are looking at some reductions to provider rates. Those don't directly impact citizens per se, but they certainly impact our providers. The people who provide our Medicaid services will get slightly lower rates in some instances. So it really varies depending upon which Missourian you are. It's going to have a different impact depending on who you are.